an empath has, I believe, it is like the biggest blessing we could have. It's a tough road. You can feel like a delicate flower in a fast-paced, crazy world. We can definitely get thrown off course. We're more prone to addiction. We're more prone, in my experience and in my teachings, this is what I believe, we are more prone to self-sabotage and internalizing things people say and like, what do they mean? And perceiving our own failure, being like, oh, I probably look like an idiot up there. I stumbled and oh, they're probably all like, we're really have this rich internal world. So we operate differently than a lot of people.
Hey friend, and welcome back to the Live by Design podcast. I'm your host, Kate House, health coach, yoga instructor, meditation enthusiast, slow but steady runner, boy mama times two, wife to my college sweetheart, and unapologetic advocate for you living your dream life. This is our space to come together and explore powerful habits, mindset shifts, goals with soul, self-awareness, and lifelong learning, all while cultivating joy and practicing gratitude each step of the way. So pop in your earbuds, press play, and together, let's live by design and not default. Hey friend, and welcome to episode 119 of the Live by Design podcast. So I have a question for you as we get started. Have you ever wondered what exactly manifesting is and how you can tap into the law of attraction? Then today's episode was recorded just for you because our guest is Talia Joy of the Awakening Her podcast, and she is obsessed with helping lightworkers, seekers, and empaths create a pinch-me life filled with purpose, abundance, and yes, joy. So let's dive into manifestation, the law of attraction, and what it's like being an empath in today's world. But before I get started, it's time for our Apple Podcast review of the week. Today's review was left by Ashland over on Apple Podcasts, and it's titled A Podcast Worth Gold. And it reads, "This podcast inspires listeners out of their cycles by sharing how to actively practice an intentional life. I appreciate each episode for turning my wheels and introducing profound insights. Thank you, Kate, for showing up in the way you do. Highly recommend." Well, Ashland, thank you so much for leaving this fabulous review. I'm sure you can hear the smile that is in my voice right now and plastered huge on my face because your words have seriously touched my heart. So as my thank you, I would love to invite you to the LBD Collective for a complimentary month of membership, which you can redeem over on my website at misskatehouse.com/thank you. And friend, if you are listening to this and you love the show, then I would be so grateful if you would leave a review for the LBD podcast on Apple Podcasts. And as my thank you, just like with Ashland, I would love to gift you 1 month of complimentary access to the LBD Collective, which is our private space for community and personal growth. It is seriously my heartfelt thank you and open-ended invite to continue your journey of self-discovery together. This $50 value is available to you to start at any time over at misskatehouse.com/thank you. And if the collective isn't your cup of tea, no worries. You are welcome to gift your month of access to someone you feel would enjoy fun, friendship, and growth. So if you'd like to show your love for the pod and gain exclusive access to the LBD Collective at the same time, then pop over to Apple Podcasts, open up the app, scroll down to the bottom of the LBD podcast, and leave your 5-star review and a sentence or two about what the podcast means to you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, friend. All right, friend, I am so excited to dive into today's conversation with you. Talia is a manifestation mentor, and she helps driven souls who are ready for big shifts learn how to hack manifestation and start manifesting quickly. So if you are ready to do the same, buckle up because here we go. Hey friends, and welcome to this week's episode of the Live by Design podcast. I am so excited for today's conversation. So as we get started, Talia, welcome to the show. I am so thrilled to have you here.
Hey, Kate, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited.
Oh my gosh. I know. I feel like we're besties, like via Zoom, just having the best conversation. I am just super, super looking forward to this. So for anybody who is listening, will you share with us
a little bit about who you are and what you're all about and how you show up and share in this world.
Yeah, thank you. So my name is Talia Joy. I'm a manifestation mentor, a spiritual teacher, podcaster, mom of three, Canadian, living off the west coast of Canada. And I am all about manifestation and creating the life that you are meant for. So I've been obsessed with the law of attraction since I was very young. And we can dive into a little bit more about what that is in a minute. But I've been so always taken by self-development and the something more in life. I remember taking my mom's like astrology books and doing readings in my like grade, I think it was grade three classroom, like getting people's birthdays and teaching them about like what it means to be an Aries, just simply referring to the book. But I was always interested in that stuff, interested in crystals and beyond and what happens when you die. And then, you know, law of attraction came into my life where I realized that, you know, we are energetic beings. This is an energetic experience. And there's a way to manipulate it in a beautiful way, in a good way, to really make life work for you and to be able to create the very specific things that you want. Whether you want to create something, a certain car or a partner or a business, or you want to feel in joy, at ease, you know, healthy, you can do that. And the law of attraction was such an eye-opener for me. And it found me when I was like 14. So I've been studying this for a really long time, kind of obsessed with cracking the code to this experience and how we can really live the life that we're meant for. And when I say meant for, I bring into my teachings the aspect of the soul and kind of our unique purpose and how we can show up and be expressed and be the fullest you, because that to me comes from your soul, a lot of it. So it's a full package deal around here and on my podcast. So it's manifesting and quite a bit more.
Well, I love that so much. And we talk about on the show a lot how oftentimes we teach from a place of experience, right? And so, you know, I'm the live by design person, like not by default, because I had this pivotal moment when I was 25 and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to take ownership of my life. I'm so unhappy. Like, what can I shift so that I can start feeling empowered in my day so that I feel joyful and happy as I go throughout my day? And I love that you found the law of attraction and manifesting at such a young age. And so was there something at 14 where, was it like a book that you stumbled upon, or was it kind of like an aha moment? Like, what did that look like for you? Because I think it's so cool that you had that experience so young.
Having my mom be a spiritual person, she was a Reiki master. She actually got certified as a Reiki master the year I was born. So since literally I can remember, there's been things like crystals around, and she didn't lay it on heavy, but that slant, that was how I brought up versus, you know, I wasn't Mormon or Catholic or sort of no religion. It was a very spiritual sort of footing that I had and understanding that I had. And so that was a big one. But Wayne Dyer was what came into my life. And energetically, I think it's because that was the beginning of my really deep suffering. I was bullied several times when I was younger, to the point where the police were involved. I left school. It was always about my body and really traumatically, you know, bullied. And so by 14, it had happened a couple times. I had switched schools, moved completely to a different city, moved in with my dad, and I was really just insecure in my body. And I was starting to lose the light, like even more. I was starting to really head down an eating disorder path, a dark path. And I believe that's energetically why it came into my life then. But I found at the library, I actually found a few of his books. I had heard about him through my mom. I found a few of his books. And then I actually got, I think it was my mom or my dad, to buy me an audio CD with like one of his books on tape. And that was it. Like once I heard his voice, I was like, oh, damn, dude, we have a soul contract. I can feel it. It was just that mentor, right? Some of us have that, whether it is health, spirituality, self-development, whatever, where we resonate so deeply with their message and their teachings. That was Wayne Dyer for me. So, you know, a bunch of things came together, but that is kind of at first how I discovered him and the law of attraction.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love that it came into your life right at the moment when you were open to receiving it, when you needed to receive it, like, what a beautiful gift. And how cool that you've then been able to take that interest and that now this area of expertise and share it with the world through your podcast and the way that you teach and just everything that you do. Just, it's just so beautiful. I find when people discover that thing that just makes them feel so vibrant and they go all in on it. So will you share with us before we dive into our deeper conversation today, what is it that you talk about on your podcast and how is it that you really connect with people?
So definitely the podcast is aimed at the law of attraction and manifestation. And one thing I've really found with the law of attraction is that a lot of people find it to manifest or to create certain things, or they're just really intrigued. You know, a lot of people found The Secret and that was like the door to open to go like, what? Our thoughts create things. And they do this and they start down this path, but then all of a sudden one day they realize they're in a full-blown awakening. It's like, what is even happening here? And how do I heal what I'm not and strip away these things I've learned about myself of not being good enough and needing to deplete myself and all of these other things to serve people and boundaries and wounds and traumas? Like, what? Okay, it's so much bigger. So on the show, I teach you how to manifest the life that you're meant for. And as I mentioned before, we bring in, I've been teaching intuitive development for years now. I have courses on intuition, because that is the way that spirit speaks to you. That is the way that the universe is guiding you. And if you're not comfortable with the universe or spirit, your inner being, your highest self, as we like to say, right? And they're guiding you through intuition. Those nudges you get, that book title, that book that sticks out, or that person that sticks out to you, that random idea to be like, oh, maybe I'll, you know, do X, Y, Z. And then it ends up being something incredible. Or even maybe you're driving home one day and you hear a little voice say like, pull over in the forest or quickly go to the beach, or, you know, just this inner guidance system is huge. So I talk a lot about that. I bring that into the work with my clients a lot. We have different intuitive types. So we're really weaving that in, because that to me is like the portal, the shortcut to be able to get guidance straight from the mother energy. So, you know, intuition is a big part of that. And then, as I mentioned, your soul's yearnings and purpose and the way your soul wants to express itself. So it is about creating the life you want. I can help with tangible things. You have this tangible goal, but also we're here to crack the code on you and master your energetics, your path to really like open up that portal so that you can be creating more of what you want on autopilot, where opportunities and abundance and the right people can just come to you as you experience, right? When you live this life by design, as you say, and you intentionally create your life, you get to feel better. You get to enhance your health. You get to welcome in new people to help you. And that's really what it is tapping into the magic. So it is manifestation, but it's truly magic and being accessing the magic that's around us.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And why I love tuning into your podcast. My kids like recognize your voice when I put on the show. They are always like, is that you, mommy? I'm like, nope, that's not mommy. Like,
oh, that's so cute. I love that.
Of course. And so for anybody who's listening and they're unfamiliar maybe with manifesting or law of attraction, if you had to give us just, you know, a Cliff Notes introduction of like, what does all that mean? Could you share that with us?
Yeah. So the way I'll just teach what's true to me, and whoever's listening, just take what resonates and, you know, throw away what doesn't, or come back to it a different time, release it, whatever you need to do. But manifestation is the process of creating. So when someone says, I want to manifest a car, it really means I want to create a car. I want it to come into my driveway, right? I want the Audi, or I want the Jeep as I am manifesting. If you ever listen to the show, you will hear about my Jeep and you will hear when I manifest it. But you know, we might have this specific idea, and to manifest is really to create. I want to manifest a partner. I want to create a partner. I want to manifest a dream business. I want to create a dream business. It's the same thing. But to me, manifesting is using the laws of how this universe works, right? There are vibrations that are proven by science, and like attracts like in this vibration. So there's the Hertz scale of vibration, which talks about that different emotions carry vibration. Humans are vibrating at a certain frequency, or your laptop's vibrating, an orange is vibrating, a bird is vibrating, all at different frequencies. So depending on how you're feeling and what type of energy you have, that's why people say, you know, the type of vibe you have, or how you're vibing, that is going out into the universe and attracts more of that like energy back to you. So this is, you know, it sounds woo-woo, but in the same way, it's very straight up. If there's a dark cloud of a person who's really, you know, really low, really negative, really whatever, and they come around you, it's easy for you to sink to their level, right? or as you start attracting more productive, successful, or, you know, similar likes and interests, you know, healthier people or whatever into your life, that rubs off on you. And you can take a piece of that and you start attracting more. And you're like, oh, I got into this one. Then this teacher came along and then this podcast. That is the law of attraction. It's what you put out comes back to you. In essence, if you look it up and Google it, you will see like attracts like. And that's what quantum physics is proving and has proven, that like energy attracts like energy. And we have, you know, we hear about this, birds of a feather flock together, and the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. Or, you know, you start off your day bad, you know, we say you lose your keys or you like bump your elbow, it's just downhill from there. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse. That's the law of attraction. And the other important part to understand with law of attraction and creation is that momentum is something that's happening. We see this, a snowball rolling down a hill, or you know, we see this play out in real life. We see momentum happening. And that's another interesting part of this, is that what you focus on expands, what you focus on creates momentum. So if you have those days where you just don't feel good about yourself, and every time you pass the mirror, you're saying mean things to your body, or you're just feeling, I'm never going to do it. And you keep saying that stuff to yourself, you become a person who's never going to do it, not because life is against you, but because momentum is a thing and you keep fueling that beast, and that beast will keep growing. So when we talk about the law of attraction and creating, manifesting what you want, it is about shifting that focus to focus more upon the things that you want, the good that's already in your life, the gratitude, as I know that you're big on, that attracts more things to make you feel good. Does that kind of sum it up a little bit?
Absolutely. And I love this sense of ownership we get over it, or the agency that we get over it, not to force things. You know, we want to allow it to expand and to embrace ease. But I love that we get to be active participants, right? It's not like life is happening to us. Like, what if it's all happening for us, right? What if there are things that we can do? I love that you talk about, you know, the tangible things, right? And choosing what you're fueling or what you're feeding, right? That's just so beautiful. So I'd love to shift our conversation a little bit, because I have invited you onto the podcast to have a conversation about manifestation, but in particular for people who identify as an empath. So we had Graciela Moore on the podcast earlier this year, and she spoke to a similar topic. And for me, it's been a really cool experience for me to learn more about empaths and highly sensitive people, and learning to identify with that, and how it's just given me so much of a new context for my life and my experiences and the way that I interact with this energetic world around me. And it makes me feel very validated and very seen. I know we have a lot of listeners who have had an experience where they're like, why do I experience things in this way? Or why does it feel different for me, or harder for me, or why am I more sensitive? So I'd love to have a conversation with you as well to kind of set the scene of what is a highly sensitive person or an empathetic person. I know there's two different, you know, it's a scale. I can't wait to dive into that with you. Can you explain to us a little bit about that? Because I think it's really important. What I try to do on the podcast is really to give definitions to things, to really lay a foundation and never assume that we know what it is. You know, let's start with just some basic facts and then grow the conversation from there.
So this was the same with me. It was completely eye-opening. I was already teaching manifestation and I'd heard empath, like everybody's heard the word, but it wasn't until, it was probably about 5 years ago, when I was like, yeah, I think I'm an empath. And I just started on a deep discovery of like, well, what does that mean then of the way that I need to navigate life? And then of course, manifestation, the thing I'm obsessed with, started realizing my clients were empaths. It was like this whole door open where I was like, I think every client I've ever had is probably an empath. They're a sensitive being. So then I started reading some books. Judith Orlov is like kind of the guru when it comes to empaths. So if you're looking for a good book or looking for more, she has amazing things. Her book, I actually have one here, The Empath Survival Guide and Thrive as an Empath, are both really great books. So I learned a lot from her, and then also my own sort of intuitive work and just kind of gathering of information. So an empath, So there's a scale of sensitivity, which we will talk about. And an empath is somebody who picks up on the vibes around them, picks up on energy that is unseen. So what this means is, you know, an empath is somebody who is often referred to as too sensitive. Either they believe they're too sensitive or they've been told it 112,000 times when they were a child, you're too sensitive, feeling like you're being really emotional. And sometimes, again, it's used against you. You feel like you can't maybe handle your emotions like other people can. You pick up on energy from people like a sponge. So if there are those toxic people, like we're talking about with law of attraction, you're going to take it on. And the empath really feels these things and can get right into the energy of the person, of like you're feeling their maybe shame or guilt or sickness. You know, there's different empath types. So not everybody has all of these things, but this is the general vibe, is if someone's around you, you might feel sick in your stomach. They might have stomach issues, or maybe that's where they carry their stress, or they're just negative and you're feeling it and internalizing it. So empaths are also really perceptive in a room. You pick up often on body language, a change in the tone of a voice. So this is a classic one where, say there's a partnership, say you're an empath, your husband's not or something, and you're at a party and someone, and you're like, oh, how are you? You know, Cheryl, are you good? And she goes, yeah, I'm good. And after, you're like, did you see Cheryl? Like, she is not good. And your husband's like, what do you mean? She said she's fine. And you're like, no. Like the way she was standing at the corner of the room, she was really quiet. And when I asked her, she got really high and squeaky. That does not sound good. No, I don't know what you're talking about. She's fine. She said she's fine. Don't look too far into it, you know? And so your partner might not say that to you, but the world has said, like, just don't look too much into it. Not everything means 100 things, right? But we're going, but it does. I can feel it. Cheryl is not fine. And I know it. How do you know it? I don't know. Intuitively, I pick up on it, right? So these are all traits of an empath, is we feel life around us. We usually have a deep connection to animals. Often violence really affects us in the media or in movies. A lot of empaths maybe used to be into violent-y shows or true crime. And as time goes on, it like affects us more and more. It's like, I don't want to watch this. This is, you know, impacting me, or that deep connection to animals, children. So it's really extra feelers. We pick up on the energy in a room that is not visible. It's not tangible. A lot of people don't pick up on it. And the distinctive part about an empath that I find so interesting is that an empath not only picks up on it, but they bring it into their body. And that's like the marker. So on the scale, one end of the scale is what is a narcissist. So a narcissist is somebody who is self-centered. Sometimes they can be people we love. It doesn't mean they're awful people or serial killers, but they are more concerned about how life affects them. They don't read into other people's energies well/at all, don't really care about how other people are feeling or the impact they have on other people. Sometimes it can be sort of malicious and dark. And sometimes it's just like oblivious. Like, Didn't you see that the way you did that made that person uncomfortable? It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, that can be a narcissist, right? So they're self-centered, a need for approval, and something happens, it's like, well, how does that affect me? Mm-hmm. And so we all have tendencies, but a narcissist lives in that. Mm-hmm. And a highly sensitive person is like in the middle of the scale. And a highly sensitive person is what I'm talking about, picks up on energy of a room, picks up on body language, tone, vibes, really gets that sense, Cheryl is not okay. Mm-hmm. But the empath is all of that, and takes all of that information and stores it in our body. Mm-hmm. So that's when we feel sick, when we've been around too many people, or anxiety is a very bodily experience. And we can feel, I've been around people that have, like, say, stomach cancer, and I can feel not only the grief and sadness of what they've experienced, but also like my stomach will hurt. And people, you know, will get headaches when you have too much energy running through you, or someone else has headaches. So that's really the definitive part of what makes it an empath, is we take it into our body.
I so appreciate the way that you explain all of that, because sometimes I feel like, I did an episode recently on mindset, right? And we hear these words, mindset, empath, HSP, you know, we hear them so much, but if we don't actually sit down and we define them, it's all very intangible. So I really appreciate you giving us kind of that like 101 introduction, because it takes time, but it's a really important part of the conversation to have, because it's laying this whole foundation. And so now that we've defined manifestation, law of attraction, empaths, HSPs, like the whole spectrum, Can you share with me, and this is the part I'm super excited to dive into with you, how does manifestation look different for those of us who are empaths? What does that look like?
Yeah. So a couple things to really think of, first of all, is that an empath has, I believe it is like the biggest blessing we could have. It's a tough road. You can feel like a delicate flower in a fast-paced, crazy world. We can definitely get thrown off course. We're more prone to addiction. We're more prone, in my experience and in my teachings, this is what I believe, we are more prone to self-sabotage and internally or internalizing things people say and like, what do they mean? And perceiving our own failure, being like, oh, I probably look like an idiot up there. I stumbled and oh, they're probably all like, we're really have this rich internal world. So we operate differently than a lot of people. In that, when we learn to empower our energy and work with our energy, this turns into a superpower of us being naturally observant and perceptive, of us having a lot of positive source energy that flows through us. We're often really good listeners, really good helpers. People come to us for advice, great nurturers, aunts, uncles, you know, mothers. We have that naturally intuitive, naturally nurturing part of us. Often, again, that connection to animals, connection to children. We have all of these beautiful traits. And because our energy is so rich, when we're empowered and we're like on fire, we are magical manifestors. I actually think it's easier for us to manifest. It's just sometimes we're manifesting what we don't want because we are sort of wrapped into like the world of all the feels. But as we learn to work with our energy, we get to embrace this, like being on fire, being creative, being passionate, being a bit sometimes flowy. And, you know, sometimes you want the structure and sometimes you need to go off script and just do your own thing and allow yourself this. So manifestation, I actually look at it like it's easier for us. And most people wouldn't say that. They'd be like, being an empath is a curse. And I don't believe that. It's working with our energy to realize we pick up on unseen things. Like, how cool is that? That's like a superhero power, right? Like we can read vibes, whether you realize it or not, you know, that's neat. So a few things that are really important for us when it comes to manifestation, we could say this for other people, but it's like times 100 for people that feel that they're highly sensitive or an empath. We have to intentionally curate our experience. And this is perfectly in line with what you do. It's intentionally choosing the energy you allow into your life, whether that's from your own head and what you're saying to yourself, or it's the people you're associating with, owning and claiming that, like, I will soak up other people's energy, and not trying to make that bad or think if you have enough grounding rituals, you're never going to pick up on people's energy. It's not true. You can manage and release and be so empowered with different rituals, but you will. So choose who you're around wisely. If there's people in your life that you feel are unhealthy for you, but say they're family or people you have to see, you know, minimize it, sort of be around other people so it's less intense. Make little breaks. I'm so famous for, like, people probably think I constantly have bladder infections or something. I'm like, I'm going to the washroom again. Cause I take a break. I'm like, I need a break from Aunt whoever, or, you know, this gathering, even if it's all positive, it's like, there's so many vibes. I just need a break. So there's different things we can do like that to really intentionally choose the energy that you allow into your life and live by design, as you say.
That's so beautiful. And what a cool way to take something that the world says, you're too sensitive, you're too much, whatever the case may be, that this is a curse, this is something bad, what have you, and to turn it into such a beautiful gift. And that really was the experience for me, right? Was my whole life feeling like I was too much or too loud or had all the feels, and that was minimized. I was told to minimize it. And I was like, but I can't. This is who I am. How beautiful to take that and say, like, actually, no, like, this is your superpower. This is the thing that makes you unique and special, and you have gifts to share with the world. And you're allowed to harness that, not just allowed, but encouraged to do so. And I can't remember the statistic off the top of my head, but I know there's a very small percentage of people in the world who are empaths. But I'm curious, for somebody who's listening, and maybe they're like, you know, I don't think I'm an empath. I don't think I'm a highly sensitive person. What can the people in our lives do who have somebody who's highly sensitive or who is an empath in their life to love them well, to support them well? what does that kind of relationship look like?
That is such a great question. I don't think I've ever been asked that. And immediately what I thought of is my child, who is my oldest daughter's an empath. And it's tricky because she's 11 going on like 18, and there's starting to be attitude and extra emotions and all those things. So as a parent, I'm going like, how do I navigate this? And throw on top, she's an empath. So she wants to help everyone. She deeply can tell how I'm feeling. If I say I'm fine, that does not cut it with her. She's like, Mom, let me give you a massage. You're not fine. I'm like, okay. But it's whether it's a child or an adult, one thing is just even hearing this and recognizing that people are living a different experience than what you're living and picking up on so much stimulation. Imagine being at a gathering, at a festival, in a mall at Christmas time, and you turn up the volume of what you're hearing, you know, 20% or 50% or 100%. And you're hearing every little shuffle and every little crinkly bag and every, like, you start to go like, oh, okay, this is too much. And that's kind of like what we're experiencing, except we're picking up on smells and textures and body language and tones of voices and chaos and noise. And, you know, like, we're the people going like, turn down the music. I am looking for an address. Like, everybody shut up. I'm looking, I can't do two at once. I mean, it's not that we can't multitask. We're great, but it's a lot of stimulation. So trying to be compassionate, like, try not to say things like, you know, just handle it, or just have boundaries, or just try to care less. If you think that someone around you, especially a child, I mean, we all need to be nurtured like a child, really, and heal that inner child, but they don't know. And that is how they experience life. So I think first and foremost, that compassion, and more of like the tone of like, how's it going? Like, are you okay? You know, with children, or if it's a partner, like, allow them to have an exit, allow them, you know, do you want to go take some time for yourself? Some grounding techniques that it might just be nature. Like, why don't you go out and take a breath, you know? And my husband will see it in me. And he's like, you want to go upstairs and just take a minute? I'm like, I do. I really do. And I appreciate that permission. Because the other thing about an empath is we deeply care how people feel and often go toward people pleasing tendencies. We don't want to be too much, and we don't want to have to leave, and we should be able to manage it. And what if we leave and then they're offended? And like, I can't risk all that. So I'm just going to stay here uncomfortable. So I think those are some things that you could do to help somebody, and just really trying to have the compassion that that is how they're experiencing life. It's not that they need to manage life like you do, because we're built different. It's, you know, two different cars run two different ways, have two different strengths. You know, you need to treat them two different ways. And so that's kind of how I look at it. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's super helpful. Cause I would imagine people are listening and identifying in one of two camps, right? Like, oh, I feel all the feels, or they're listening and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And there's value in the conversation for everybody, right? Because either we get to learn how to support people in our lives who we love, who do have these big experiences, right? So we get to learn how to support them and love them well. And I think that's part of living by design, is nurturing the relationships that are important to you. And if you have a relationship, a friendship, a family relationship, a romantic relationship with somebody who is highly sensitive or is an empath, you know, how can you love them well? And on the flip side, for somebody who is highly sensitive or empathetic, can you share with us, or an empath, I should say, what are some of the grounding rituals that you've mentioned? What are some of the things that can help those of us who have those big experiences get, you know, back to center, and maybe even the ability to, like you were saying, to release that people-pleasing tendency, right? For me, it manifested as like so much guilt over like, well, what if I leave and they need something? And finally getting to a place where I'm like, well, I need to prioritize my experience too. And that also has value. What are some things that you would suggest to somebody?
So one really big one, I mean, I have a program called the Empowered Empath, where it's 5 weeks of literally like energy management and manifestation practices exactly for this person. So it's really, really neat. And I go over a lot of practices, and some of the main ones are actually more than grounding, although we always need that. It's releasing and transforming excess energy. Really is, to me, it's like alchemy. It's like, if this is you listening, it's things that transform your energy and not allowing it to pile and pile and pile. So another tool I talk about with empaths is the power of pivoting and pivoting your emotions and thoughts. It's not bypassing, but it's going like, you know what, if I continue going down that road of coulda, shoulda, I know I'm going to end up a nervous wreck. So instead, I'm going to like make myself a cup of tea, sit outside on the deck or have a nap or watch a funny show or journal or hug my partner and just pivot my energy because I will continue going down there. So that's kind of the energy of what really helps empaths, I find, is transforming and alchemizing. So one great one is movement and exercise. If you're someone who exercises already, bring that intention. I put my mat out or whatever I'm doing. And I say like, I'm here to transform excess energy. And I can do it in a bicep curl. I can do it in a jumping jack or a nice stretch where I'm just like, yes, I can feel it like allowing energy to move through. Another one that I do is movement, but it's literally shaking it off. And I teach about this where we just like shake out our hands and our arms, allow your body to just shake it through and do whatever you feel the need to do. I'll often ask myself, how does this excess energy want to be expressed through me? So this will be if I am starting to feel overwhelmed or it's the end of the day, how does this excess energy want to be expressed through me? And I find sometimes I'm doing some Jay-Z dirt off your shoulder movements and flicking out, like shaking out my arms. Sometimes it's my whole torso. Sometimes I'm making all these crazy noises, like blah, just to like let it out and let it through. That does wonders. So your kids could do that and be like, let's just let our energy, you know, flow through if you have empath kids or just to transform energy in general. So that's a big one. Water is another really powerful one for empaths. We're so deeply connected to the earth. So we're really connected to the moon and the moon cycles, whether you realize it or not. And also water. Water is really releasing. So having a bath, having a shower, jumping in a lake, you know, being outside even with the hose and letting it be on your feet, like water tends to alchemize our energy and really ground us and help us to release that. So I love to go into the shower and picture it all. You know, we've heard this probably, but picture the excess energy, you know, falling off of me as the shower, as the water does. And I picture it going down the drain and I'll kind of say like, what else? And is there more? And just let it flow through me. That's not so active like the shaking, but it is really nice and relaxing. I'll also do a bath with Epsom salts and stuff like that. And I'll set an intention. I'm going to come in here. This is to alchemize my energy, to breathe it out, to feel good. And I'm going to come out feeling much more grounded. And I'm big on intention. So that's another one. Another great one we can do with journaling is I like to say, today I'm choosing to release blank, or right now I am choosing to release blank and allow it to come up and out. Cause sometimes we just have so much going on. It's like, I'm choosing to release the altercation with the people at work and just put it down for now. Or, you know, my feelings about X, Y, Z. Sometimes people find it gives them permission to like process and release. And just even that conscious shift can do so much for the energy that we hold. So those are some really sort of tangible tips that we can do. I also love using nature, and that's sort of the one I'll end on for this part, but nature is recalibrating. Again, we are even more deeply connected to nature than regular people or whatever you want to say, non-unicorns that are their own special breed, but nature is huge. So like, depending on your degree of hippiness, like go out and hug a tree or go in a forest trail or on the beach or up on a mountain or in your backyard, in the flowers, in the garden, like whatever. Being in nature will alchemize excess energy. And the empath that's trapped in a concrete jungle without any way to transform their energy is often more suffering than people who can utilize nature or choose to do that. So you can bring crystals into your home, plants into your home, the water again, or go out in nature if you can. Make it part of your self-care routine. Like make it like part of your therapy. Like I'm going into nature, take this away from me. Like take this excess energy. The trees can handle it. The ground can handle it. It's so powerful. So hopefully those are some practices you can take.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for that, because sometimes I think when we have these conversations, we're throwing around terms like this, it can feel very ethereal, right? It feels very out like in the stratosphere, like this is a little woo woo, whatever. But it's important to remember, like, there are very tangible things that we can do, right? There are these practices, getting out in nature, connect with water, take time for yourself, move your body, move the energy through you, right? Like it's so much more than just something intangible, right? There are very tangible things that we can do to process, to feel, to release. I love the movement of shaking your hands and your torso and just releasing it. And learning about all this as an adult has been really interesting for me because I've learned a lot of these. I kind of thought of them as like coping mechanisms, but now I'm learning that they're really just like release mechanisms that I came to just kind of organically, where it was like, okay, well, journaling helps me feel lighter and brighter. I've been a runner since I was 12 and not like a fast runner, but just like I feel better after I run. I've always said that's the best way that I process like my feelings and like literally like my energy. It's not that I have like nervous energy or excess energy. It's just like something that I don't want in me. And the physical movement helps it like dislodge or release almost. And so it's really fun for me as an adult to learn about this because it gives me context of like, oh, well, that's why this helps. Or, oh, this is why this has been a significant practice in my life. And that's why I want to share an episode like this, because I'm sure there's at least one person out there who's listening who's like, oh, maybe I am an empath. Maybe I am highly sensitive. Maybe there's a reason that my experience seems to be different than those around me or in my immediate family. So I'm just so grateful to you for sharing this insight, for giving us this working knowledge, and then also giving us those really tangible tools. I'm just so grateful for your insights.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad that it's landing because, you know, the thing with empaths is your entire life mastery, your success will come through self-mastery. Like that's, I think, one of the biggest things that hit home, especially for empaths. I also love talking about the soul, as I've discussed. And I believe that most empaths, if not all of them, are old souls. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, for those of you that are interested in that really quickly, like we're more about deep transformation and impact and connection and community and support, not so much on just the 10K months and more about like, what does that mean? I can be generous. I can give my kids amazing lessons. Like we're the feelers, we're more in it for the mojo and for the energy. So your life strategies, whether you refer to it as manifestation or living by design or creating something that you want shifting, it's going to come through personal mastery, which if you feel like you might be an empath or you are, that is energetic mastery. It's sort of, for lack of better words, I don't like to say in control, but it's like getting your energy in control so that you're not, you know, giving it away to everyone and then taking on all the cashier's junk. And then you're, you know, snappy to your partner or friends and you never really know what's going on because you're just feeling so much and you don't even know where this energy sometimes comes from, you know? And so managing that energy can be one of like, is, I think, one of the most beneficial things you can learn, because you can study the law of attraction. You can study how to make positive change. But if you're dealing with a rich inner world and you're depleted and you're, you know, in that space of the disempowered empath where you are overwhelmed and you are anxious and, you know, energy mastery is where it's at. And as you shift, as you talk about, as you shift who you are being and the things you're doing intentionally, then life gets to kind of come together better. So it really feels like making that energy mastery and self-mastery the focus, as you would be on a show like this, that's where your gold's going to be. It's not going to be the three-step process that someone else does. It's going to be something that helps you to clear ground, focus, center your energy, which is why even your morning routine, you know, you talk about it sets up your energy for the day, whether you realize it or not. It's helping you recalibrate. It's helping you release. It's helping you intentionally create the day you want. That is the mojo. That is the magic for empaths, is intentionally creating the energy that you want to be in, or else you're kind of left open and whoever comes up, including the mailman or your partner, comes home after a hard day and your joy is out the window because you have no solid foundation. That has been my path. So that's why I speak to it so passionately. It's like, that's what happens. So the best thing you can do is that energy mastery, that self mastery, and, you know, anchoring that sort of into your day.
Oh, that's so beautiful. So for somebody who wants to start down this path of learning more, whether it's that they identify as an empath or highly sensitive, or they're like, oh, I think my partner is, or because I guarantee that there are people out there who are empaths who don't know it, right? But maybe somebody who's in their life recognizes it and it's like, oh, well, this is how I can support them well. Where are some good places to start? So obviously, listening to your podcast is an awesome resource. What are some other things that kind of have helped you on this journey?
Yeah, it sounds kind of funny, but a lot of my teachings are mine. So I haven't really like duplicated anyone else's. And I know that that's not really what you're saying, but Judith Orlov was the person who I was like, oh, really definitively was like, I'm an empath. So her books are incredible. I think there's maybe only two, but they're like life-changing. So that for sure. And then I really feel that the journey of allowing yourself or supporting someone else who is an empath, allowing them to just be who they are. It sounds very vague, but as I said, like that trust and that compassion in, you know, who they are. So, you know, being creative is amazing, allowing yourself to follow your joy and just kind of, you know, asking, you know, I call it the whole authentic self. So it's like, what is my authentic self love to do? And that is when sort of nature, creativity, quiet time, you know, good food, moving your body, moving more into like who you truly are is going to be such powerful work. So I don't have a ton of people that I would refer to. Of course, my podcast is going to be amazing, but it is that like whatever feels good in this time of, you know, teachers and practices and books and things, like go with that good feeling, because remember that feeling is your superpower. So if you're feeling like you want to learn more about inner child and you're feeling like you need a morning routine or you want a coach or, you know, you're feeling like you need to journal every morning, like go with that. That is the direct line, you know, and again, it sometimes takes some time to be like, but I'm also feeling all these other things. So that's the self-mastery, right? And identifying like what's whole and authentic and what maybe is reaction or fear, whatever else, but really going with those emotions and trusting in them, trusting in those gut feelings is huge. So didn't really answer your question, but that's the best response I have in the moment.
No, that's absolutely perfect. Yeah. We'll link to all the resources below. We talked about a broad range of topics, but they really coalesce all together, right? This, the empath who's manifesting, who's learning about the law of attraction and just wants to learn that it's okay. It's great that you're exactly the way that you are, right? That giving yourself permission to really embrace and celebrate that, and then to grow and to learn from there. And that's why I think what you do is just so beautiful and so important, is that it gives people that opportunity for that self-discovery, that opportunity just to look inside and be like, oh yeah, I love this person that I am. And also I can layer all these practices in that help me feel vibrant, and I can manifest and it looks a little bit different for me. And that's not a bad thing. Right. And I just, I love that you celebrate the good.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for that reflection. It's beautiful. And I do think that really noticing, right, talking back about energy mastery, whether it's about manifestation, law of attraction, or just you want to live a really joyful life and you want to have fun, you want to feel free. It's really fine tuning and recognizing your own energy. So some things with empaths, there's, you know, so many lists that I teach about in different things that kind of blow our mind, but our mind collectively, us empaths, we're highly sensitive people, but there's things that make it worse. Like rushing is like a big thing for empaths, that like, it's just like, if I'm trying to pack for a weekend and I'm rushed and kids are talking, like I will forget socks. I'm notorious for not even packing a toothbrush. Be like, I need to go to the drugstore again. I forgot my toothbrush because I was packing in a rush. Like I can't do that. Other things are like clutter in the house. And again, people's overly negative emotions, like conversations that are draining, are extra, extra draining. So with this new compassionate eye of like, I am a sensitive unicorn, but I am powerful in that. There is power in my nurturing, in my intuition, in my, you know, my energy, my caregiving, my perceptiveness. But just knowing that and starting to witness, like I start to feel really off when another one for us is we're really like hangry is like so a thing for us, where blood sugar deeply affects us. So for the love of God, bring some nuts and seeds with you, or some raisins or something, you know, bring an apple, because there's these things that as you start to care for yourself and love yourself well, as you talk about, just noticing that when I'm rushed, I feel really off. And sometimes we can't avoid it, but sometimes you can, right? I'd rather pack the night before at 10 p.m., even if I'm tired, than do it in the morning rushed with everything. And learning these things that trigger me. And I love intermittent fasting, but there comes a point where all of a sudden grumpy Talia starts approaching and I'm like, Kate, time to eat, right? So really recognizing that your energy is important and valid and on purpose, and it's here to show you something, really.
That's so beautiful. I love what you say about rushing. My family and I were traveling pre-COVID. We were in Colorado for a friend's wedding, and we were crashing at another friend's place, and it was the night before we were flying out of town, and our youngest was sick. He wasn't sleeping well. So we're like super tired. So I was like, all right, we have a really early flight tomorrow. I'm going to get everyone's clothes out the night before, like my husband, myself, my kids. I was like, babe, you watch the kids. I will get us totally set for tomorrow because I need that, right? I don't like to rush. Well, we slept through our alarms and we're all getting dressed. And we're like trying to rush off to the airport. And I got everybody clothes, except I did not leave out underwear for myself. And so I flew home totally commando. It was just like, this is so funny to me. And so as you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, I've had that experience. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
And we also can easily forget about ourselves subconsciously because we have focused on, we're so concerned with how other people feel because we feel how they feel. So it's not a character flaw, right? Oh, you're so concerned with how other people feel. You do you. It's like, okay, it's not that easy for me because I feel their disappointment. I feel, you know, you mentioned or referred to taking time for you. And then it's like, well, what if the kids are upset? Or like, we feel our youngest child's sadness of mom is gone. And it's like, all I'm trying to do is do a yoga class. Like this is intense, right? Like you can feel it. So we've learned these coping strategies to put other people first because it's actually slightly more comfortable to feel our own neglect and emotions than it is to feel responsible for somebody else's. So we're packing. Of course, everyone else does that. I do that all the time. Everyone's got all the snacks they could possibly need. And I didn't even bring a water bottle for myself. Like I'm working on it, but I can't stand the thought of my kids being hungry while we're out on a hike. But me, like I can handle that. I'm an adult. Like that's almost like the subconscious thing. And so rewriting that to like your needs are, you know, of course, just as important, you need to be up there. But that's another reason why we can do that stuff is because we actually learn to please other people first, because it's so intense to feel their disappointment and their discomfort because we feel it too.
Yeah. So for somebody who's listening and they're like, yes, Talia is like speaking to my heart. I need to connect with her. Will you tell us a little bit more first about your class and then all the places we can connect with you online to just continue this conversation? Because I feel like there's so much more depth to this. There's so much more to explore. And I'm like super excited to get to do that with you.
Yeah, there is so much more. It's incredible. So the podcast is the amazing home where you'll just, you know, I'm there at least twice a week and I have some incredible guests in. Kate's on the show as well. Go check out that episode. We'll link that out if that one's out at this point, which it probably should be. And so it's called the Awakening Her podcast. It's an incredible place where it's all this stuff. It's all the Talia you can handle. Lots of tips and tricks and hacks and, you know, reflections and all of that. I also love Instagram. I started on Facebook, so I've got quite a big community on Facebook, but in the last year or so, Instagram has kind of taken my heart. I really like being on stories and creating reels and posting, you know, all the time. I'm always posting fun things. So you can come find me there, reach out in my podcast, in all the show notes, there's links to free gifts. And I can even maybe pass something on to you to pass on a link for, there is a daily practice I have and meditations and things like that. So you can check the links below here. And also on my podcast, there's free gifts there as well. And in addition to that, TaliaJoyManifestation.com is my website. And so that's kind of the overview and the sort of about me and all of that. And those are my favorite places to make an impact. And I do a couple of fun ways to work with people. We can do like 3-month mentorship if someone was looking for one-on-one, but I've been doing for the last few months 30-day voice memo support. So it's 30 days of voice memo support on WhatsApp plus one call. And that's been such an incredible way to quantum leap and really focus on what it is you want and have that everyday support. It's been so much fun. So if that calls you too, you can find all those links below or through my podcast as well, or on Instagram, you can always reach out to. I'm a real human and I love to connect.
Oh, well, Talia, thank you so much for this conversation. My heart is full. I'm just so grateful for your incredible insights, and just to get to share this time together with you is just so incredibly special. And yes, we will link to everything below, especially the episode that we did together over at the Awakening Her podcast. That was such a fun conversation to have, but I'm just so grateful for all the light and the love that you share with us. So thank you, friend, for coming onto the show.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you, Kate, for having me. This is such a joy. You're amazing. And I'm so grateful we've got to connect deeper. So fun.
Thank you.
Hey, friend. If today's conversation about learning how to embrace who you truly are and to set and work towards goals that are personal and unique to you, that light a fire inside of you and make you feel excited to pursue, then the Live by Design Collective was created just for you. In fact, one of our members recently gave me this beautiful review of the collective that I wanted to share with you here today. She says, "I'm thrilled to be part of the LBD Collective. In a world where we can often feel judged, lonely, and stuck, I want to surround myself with strong women who raise each other up, find the everyday joys, and to be the best version of themselves, even on hard days." And oh my gosh, this review makes me so happy, because that is seriously the intention behind the collective. I want us to create this collection of women who are here to support and encourage and uplift and inspire and hold one another accountable lovingly as we work and grow together. I think it can be really easy to feel lonely and isolated and stuck, and having a space where we can go online every single day in the Facebook group and then twice a month for our growth night and our discovery nights can just remind you that you're not alone, can remind you that you are connected to incredible people who are here to hold your hand and walk in step with you when times are hard, and who are here to push and encourage and inspire you towards growth when you're in that season as well. So if you are ready to join the Live by Design Collective, if you are ready to live by design and not by default, you can go over to my website to learn more or to join today. So head over to misskatehouse.com/LBD Collective. That's MSKATEHOUSE.com/LBD Collective to join or to learn more, or scroll down in your listening app for the link. Welcome to Joyful Corner, my opportunity each week to share with you something or someone that's recently brought me joy or an experience that I'm grateful to have had. So I recently took a flight by myself for the first time in years. It was actually my first flight since like February of 2020. And I also wasn't flying with my children. So that means I got to like watch movies and just take care of myself in the airport instead of making sure my kids are entertained and fed and, you know, not in a restricted area and all of those things that come with traveling with small children. And so while I was traveling, I rewatched The Devil Wears Prada. Did you know that that came out in 2006? Did that just blow your mind? Because in 2006, I was a senior in high school, and I totally did not think that that movie was as old as it is. So I guess it's a little bit of a throwback, but I just loved rewatching it. And I so enjoy Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep because their performances are just so good in this movie. And I like the movie because it's like a sneak peek into a world that is so different than my own. And it has like a nostalgia factor. I love watching movies that I enjoyed watching when I was in high school or in my college years. Those were quite a while ago. So it was just a really fun time of doing something totally for fun, just for myself. And it definitely brought me joy to watch The Devil Wears Prada. So if you have a favorite throwback movie as well, hop over to my Instagram at Miss Kate House and slide into my DMs and let me know what it is, because I am all about this throwback movie train. Friend, thank you so much for joining me for today's conversation with Talia. I hope you learned half of what I learned from her, because I learned a ton. And if you learned half of that, I hope that you're walking away feeling inspired and feeling ready to start manifesting and using the law of attraction and moving towards your biggest, most audacious dreams, because I am excited to do that right alongside of you. If you haven't yet joined my newsletter, you can do so by scrolling down in your listening app now or hopping over to misskatehouse.com/newsletter. And I like to call it my little love letter. It's a short but sweet email that accompanies each and every episode of the podcast, so you are the first to know when new episodes drop. You get direct access to any resources mentioned in the show, and sometimes I throw some fun surprise things in there as well. The Live by Design podcast is hosted and produced by me, Kate House, with huge, ginormous thanks to the incredible Liz Chapman for managing, editing, and doing all of the things for the podcast that allows us to show up twice each and every week. I couldn't do it without her. I will see you later this week for our next mini motivational meditation. And until then, friend, spread some joy, make someone smile.